And we do that, by the way, by His Word, by being in His Word every single day. We got to remind some teenagers this week, no Bible, no breakfast. Oh, that's tough, isn't it? Y'all didn't want to hear that. No read, no feed. Yeah. Might be good for us in so many ways if we didn't eat physical food until we had feasted on the Word of God. Might help us out in a whole lot of different ways, but listen, we can't have a close walk with the Lord without His Word. So I hope every day you spend time in the Word of God, every morning, first thing, and then meditate on that Word throughout the day. That was all for free. Now we're going to look to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 6. Sometimes I have a hard time finding a title for messages. I thought about titling this message, The Dogs and the Hogs. But really what it's about is having careful discernment. And so if you're able, let's stand. One verse tonight, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 6. Jesus, as He continues to challenge His church, His disciples, and you'll remember that He just told us that we need to judge not, that you be not judged. He told us that we need to not look down on other people. It doesn't mean that we can't make judgment calls on what's right or what's wrong. We're supposed to do that. But it means that when we look at sin in others, we don't look down on them. We don't condemn them in our hearts. We don't think we're better than they are. As a matter of fact, He goes on to say, you need to get that beam out of your eye so that you can help your brother with the mote that's in his eye. And so we should judge. We should see sin in others, but not condemningly, but lovingly, so that we can keep our hearts and lives clean so that we can help others when they go by the wayside. And so then we come to verse 6, and the Lord says, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Our Heavenly Father, please give us understanding of Your Word tonight. Help me to preach exactly as You'd have me to, Lord. Help us to have careful discernment as we look out into this world and we try to grow in Your truth and to share that truth with others. Help us to have wisdom and discernment. Lead us by Your Spirit. I pray, Lord, that if any of us are living like the dogs and the hogs now, that You would help us to repent, that You would clean up our lives and help us to replace the wicked things that we may have in our lives with godly and holy things. Lord, help us to seek first Your kingdom and Your righteousness. Help us to grow in Your truth, in Your grace, in Your mercy. Forgive our sin and help us, Lord. And please bless Your Word now and help me, for I'm nothing without You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please be seated. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, like the hogs trample everything in the mire, or turn again and rend you, like a dog might come back and attack you. And so we want to learn about having careful discernment as we try to take the things that God has given us, His holiness, and the treasures of His truth. We want to be careful as we give it out into the world. This verse is difficult for me because I'm going to tell you tonight that you need to have wisdom and discernment as you try to share the gospel with others, as you try to share truth with others, and it kind of goes against, so we got to make sure we balance that out with the parable of the sower who went forth and sowed seed everywhere that he went. And so we want to be careful. We want to balance those things out. But we understand what hogs are. Any of you guys grow up raising hogs? Bless your hearts. I don't even like to drive by a hog farm. Things are nasty. There was a farmer, old farmer, who went into town for some business one day, and he stopped at a restaurant to eat. And as he sat down and they brought his meal, he bowed his head and he prayed and gave thanks. And there were some younger guys sitting at the counter there at this little restaurant, and they started to make fun of him. And they said, hey, old man, everybody pray for their food back where you're from out there in the country. And he said, no, the hogs don't. Them hogs, they don't give thanks. And that's a good picture for us today. But before we learn about the hogs and the dogs, I want to notice that it says, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine. Before you would have any holiness to give, before you would have any pearls to cast, you cannot give that which you don't have. You can't give away something that you don't have yourself. So this all begins with biblical development. We have to have holiness before we can give holiness. We have to have pearls before we can cast them to others. And so we've got to grow biblically. You can't give what you do not have. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And our holiness comes as we put off filthiness and we put on holiness. The Bible tells us over and over, put off the old man and put on the new man. Put off these old things and put on these good things. And we're supposed to put away fornication and uncleanness and lasciviousness. We're supposed to put away anger and malice and hatred and envy and strife. And we put off all of these things of the old man and drunkenness and revelings or partying. We put away all of that from our old life. We put it away. And then God gives us the law of replacement. As you put off the old, you put off the wicked, you put off the vile, you put on the good. You put on righteousness and holiness and meekness and temperance and faith and justice. And as you are tried in your faith, it brings about patience and patience endurance. And we grow in our holiness. And so God says, I want you to grow up in your holiness. I want you to put off the filthiness of the flesh. And I want you to perfect holiness in the fear of God. You know, we sometimes are very well tempered, controlled in what we do, based on who might find out about it. Who might see or who might know how we acted, what we said, or what we did, or where we went. But can I remind you that we ought not be controlled by the fear of men, and certainly we ought to try to keep a good testimony. But we would do well to remember that God is always watching. And we ought to control our actions based on the fact that God is in control and God sees all, and we ought to have a fear of God and ought to drive us to holiness. In Romans chapter 6, verses 19 through 22, the Bible says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness, and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants to righteousness, unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin, and become the servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. He said, listen, when you were lost, you were in your sin and all of the iniquity that you did, all the wickedness that you lived in, that sinful lifestyle you had, what was the fruit of it? What was the benefit? What good did it bring into your life and to your family? He said, nothing. The end of that wickedness, the end of sin is death. What good was it? So now get away from that stuff. You have been saved. Now you are free from sin. You don't have to live in that any longer. Now you can live under righteousness and holiness. And the fruit of that is life everlasting. The fruit of that godly living is holiness and Christ-likeness. In Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 10, the Bible says, receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. The Word of God says that we've got these pearls, we've got this great treasure, we've got the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it is a precious treasure. And we cannot, and listen, friend, I hope you realize tonight that the gospel is so much deeper than what you understood the day you were saved. Amen. And it is a deep, deep treasure. In the depths of which that we're never going to fully understand this life. And we can continue to mine out that treasure. And continue to dig into this word and learn more and grow and gain that wisdom and that precious treasure. And the Lord tells us to seek for that wisdom, ask for His treasure. I mean to search for it. And He says, listen, it's better than gold. It's better than rubies. It's better than silver. It is a precious treasure. And we need to We need to have biblical development as we grow in the Word of God and put off the old man and put on the new man. Well, Matthew 13 and verse 45, the Lord says again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. And friend, I'm telling you, you can search this world over for religion. You can search this world over for some kind of peace or contentment or hope or joy. And you're never going to find it outside of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when you find the gospel of Jesus Christ, that God himself became a man, that man lived a sinless life, that God-man gave that life on Calvary's cross and was buried and took that life back up again on the third day, and that God-man sits at the right hand of the throne of God making intercession for you forever and ever and ever. When you get a hold of that gospel, when you get a hold of that pearl, you just let go of everything else. It's precious. Nothing compares to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he says, you get that pearl and you hang on to that pearl. It's precious. It's worth more than all the treasures of the world. It's worth more than everything you've ever been searching for in your life. And so we need to have biblical development. We can't give away what we don't have. But not only do we need to have biblical development, we need to have careful discernment. He says, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Though we may not judge, we must discriminate. It may be wrong to condemn, but it may be necessary to withdraw. Otherwise, sacred things may be profaned and angry passions stirred, and thus much harm may be done through the only good was intended. The only good was intended. Listen, we need to have some discernment. We need to be careful. So let's learn for a moment what the Bible has to say about dogs and hogs. Now, you may have your own idea about who might be a hog or a dog, but let's see what God has to say about it, okay? Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Philippians 3, verses 1 through 3. It says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but to you, for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. And so, Paul writes to the church of Philippi, and he says, I want you to beware. I want you to watch out. I want you to look out for these dogs. And he puts them in and put them in context with who they are accompanied with. These that he calls dogs are in company with evil workers. These are those that are of the concision. And he says, and he contrasts those that are of the circumcision, not of the flesh, but of the heart. Those that worship the Lord Jesus Christ and rejoice in him and have no confidence in the flesh. And so he tells us about these dogs. They're evil workers. And then look to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Verse 19. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again. And the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. So here the Word of God gives us a picture of the hogs and the dogs. He says this person who has through knowledge, they have through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they escape the pollutions of the world, but then they go back. and they're entangled again. They're overcome. In other words, they heard the gospel. They made some mental assent to the gospel. They cleaned up their life on their own. They weren't really changed. And they go back to the world. They said it's just like the proverb. The dog is turned back to its own vomit again. I talked about this at teen camp, but I'll try not to be as graphic tonight, because you don't have as strong a constitution as teenagers do. But I just wonder if any of you have dogs. Anybody? The more I knock on doors, the more I hate dogs. I just wonder if any of you have been witness to this very act. Isn't it nasty? I mean, it's nasty enough that they puke. But when they go back to it, it's filthy. Jesus said, might be a man who has a demon. There's a devil in his life. And he gets rid of that devil and he cleans up his life. He's talking about somebody who gets religion. Somebody who turns over a new leaf. Somebody who just cleans themselves up. Now, they didn't repent of their sin and trust in Christ. They didn't get the Spirit of God inside of them. They just cleaned themselves up. This man gets his life all cleaned up. He gets himself all, his house is in order. But because he didn't get Jesus, because he didn't get the Spirit of God, that devil goes and gets seven of his fellows, and he comes back and comes back into that man. And the last state of that man is worse than the beginning. It's like a dog going back to his vomit again. Or it's like a sow getting cleaned up. But as soon as you clean that hog up, she's going to go right back into the mire. She's going to go right back into the mud, into the muck, into her own filth. And she's going to wallow in it. She's going to get down there and just get her face all down in it. And roll around in it and just be covered in it. And it's nasty. And God bless you people that raise hogs. They are nasty, stinky. I love bacon, though, so I'm glad. People that raise hogs. I saw a boy a few months ago. He had a t-shirt that said, "Bacon, one of the reasons I know Jesus loves me. I'm freed from the law." That's good. I love bacon. There are people who are wicked, vile. The Bible says in Revelation 22:14, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers, and idolater, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie." So these dogs are listed with sorcerers, and I just want to tell you my opinion about witchcraft and sorcery in the Scriptures. I think it has far less to do with magic as it has to do with drug abuse. The word for witchcraft in the Bible is the word we get pharmaceuticals from. And it has to do with these people who are cooking and using drugs. And certainly they see all kinds of magical things when they're on drugs. But this sorcery, the drug abuse, and whoremongers, that's fornicators, and murderers, and we know about that, and idolaters, those who have their own gods that they worship, and not just people bowing down to statues, but those that say things like, "My God would never send anyone to hell." Well, certainly they're true. They've created a god in their mind. They have their own idol in their mind that they worship. And their God wouldn't send anyone to hell because they've invented a God in their mind. And I'll just go ahead and show you in the Word of God. The Bible says that God will cast the souls of those who are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life into hell, into the lake of fire. Idolaters. "And whosoever loveth and maketh a lie." So we get a sense from the Scriptures, who are these dogs? Who are these hogs? We understand by the people they're grouped with, the type of person we're talking about. There was a lady who was bitten by a mad dog. She didn't get to the doctor very soon, and they finally got her to the hospital and figured out that she was infected with rabies and it was too far gone. It looked like she wasn't going to make it. The doctors came in and said, "You need to make out a will. You're probably not going to make it too much longer." And she began to make out a list. And the doctor said, "That surely is a long will that you're making." She said, "Oh, that's not a will. That's a list of the people I'm going to bite." Some hateful people in this world. Well, we need to have careful discernment. We need to understand that there are those who, when you try to give them the word of God, it's not going to go well. So how do we know? How do we have this careful discernment? We have to have spiritual direction. I want you to think about Jesus for a moment. He is our great example. Now, when you study the life of Jesus Christ, you might think to yourself, without a doubt, Jesus went everywhere, spreading the gospel everywhere he went. Surely Jesus gave the gospel to everyone he came in contact with. Surely Jesus gave love and truth to everyone he met. And yet, when you study the scriptures, that's not what you see at all. When the prideful Pharisees and scribes came to him and tried to tempt him and tried to mess him up, you didn't see Jesus giving them the grace of the cross. The very opposite, as a matter of fact, those wicked, vile, no good sinners like the harlots and the publicans and all of these others, the sinners of the world in that day, when they came humbly to the Lord, he very gladly gave them the gospel. Amen. And so Jesus walked with discernment. He didn't just give the gospel to everybody. You say, well, how are we going to figure this out? We're not Jesus. And that's exactly right. When we look at Jesus, there were some that he freely gave the gospel and others that he withheld plain teaching. Luke 8:10 says, "And he said unto you, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God." To his disciples, he said, "Unto you, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see and hearing they might not hear or understand." And so the Lord had this discernment about him. How do we know? We know sometimes it's not good to approach somebody. Proverbs 9 and verse 8 says, "Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee." So how are we going to figure this all out? Well, Romans 8 and verse 14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." We have to be Spirit-led. Now, I told you, I don't even want to preach this verse because I don't want anybody to latch on to it and just go around every day saying, "Oh, that's a hog, that's a dog. I'm not sharing the gospel with them, not sharing the gospel with them." I believe we ought to cast the seed everywhere we go. But it doesn't take you long once you start talking to someone to figure out whether or not that's going to go anywhere. And that's not just based on outward appearances or even their attitude, but there's just something that happens inside your heart. There's something there. You just know whether I need to continue to push here and give the gospel or I need to just back off and say, "Hey, I hope you'll read that tract I gave you sometime." And just kind of plant that seed, but let it go. And the only way we're ever going to know that is by having the leadership of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. This is not something you can discern. I'm just here to tell you tonight, friend, there are people that I have shared the gospel with that sharing the gospel with them was one of the easiest things and went better. And if you'd have drove by looking at them, you'd have thought, that fella right there is a dog. I mean, they looked rough. They looked wicked. They looked terrible. They looked like the worst of the worst. And yet they were broken and needed the grace of Jesus Christ in their life. So we don't judge a book by its cover, but we have to be led of the Spirit. It's not about how they look on the outside. It's about how they're ready to receive the Word of God. Acts chapter 16 and verse 5 says, Acts chapter 16 and verse 5, "And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not, or allowed them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. And I'm just here to tell you, we ought to try to hand out gospel tracts everywhere we go. We ought to try to witness the best we can everywhere. But there are going to be times that the Holy Spirit of God is going to say, I don't want you to go over there. It's not time for this person. So we have to be Spirit-led. There's going to be other times that the Holy Spirit of God is going to draw you to somebody. Just like the Macedonian call. It's going to be like the Lord's just saying, I want you to go right over there and talk to that person right now. And we've got to be Spirit-led. We've got to have spiritual discernment in our witnessing. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine. Why? I mean, why wouldn't we take everything that we've learned and give it to everybody we can? Why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we cast our pearls before everybody we possibly could? I mean, God's given us this great truth. He's given us the gospel. Why wouldn't we just give it to everybody freely? He says, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Now, don't misunderstand this. Jesus Christ preached the gospel at the peril of his own life. The Apostle Paul preached the gospel, and he wasn't concerned about the attacks of men. He willingly was spent for the gospel, and he gave his very life for the gospel. So what does it mean? I'll tell you what I believe. I believe this verse right here is really about guarding the preciousness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are those who would trample underfoot the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you would try to share with them the life-saving gospel, they would make a mockery of it. They would trample it in the muck and the mire, just like a hog. And friends, this message is too precious.
Amen.
So, we need to have careful discernment. So does that mean tonight as you leave church and you got to stop at the gas station, you pull up at the pump and there's somebody on the other side and you just stand back and look at them? Look at their car. See if they got an OU tag on the front or a Razorback tag. See if they're a hog. Do you look at the way they're dressed? Listen to the way they talk? Wait to see if they're going to smoke there at the gas pump. If they do, you might want to step back. I mean, do we look at people and try to judge and determine by the way that they look, the car that they drive? Absolutely not. You know what I'd do? I'd go ahead and take a chance. I'd go ahead and throw out a little seed. I'd say, hey, did you get one of these? And try to hand them a gospel tract. And you're going to find out real quick what they think about it. Because I'm going to tell you right now, there's some people, when they see that cross on the front of this thing, their reaction's going to tell you exactly what they are. And I'm amazed sometimes the people I think would be the hardest and the roughest, they're the ones that'll take it and say, thank you so much, I've been looking for a church. It's amazing. So I'm not preaching to you tonight to say go around judging everybody, trying to decide who's what. I'm just telling you, when you do engage somebody and begin to speak to them, if they make a mockery of the gospel of Jesus Christ, if they come back at you and just attack you, if they have no interest and they trodden underfoot the Lord Jesus Christ, then you just take a step back. Say, hey, I hope you'll read that. And I'm going to pray for you. And let it go. And go on to the next person. Please don't let this message be your excuse for not sharing the gospel. But let's use some discernment. And let's guard the precious word of God that we've been given. It is a pearl of great price. And we want to protect it. And we want to guard it. And we don't want to see anybody trample it in the mire. We get ready for an invitation tonight. Would you stand with us, please?